Bibles to Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 4 to 5. The Bible says, no longer will they call you deserted, and that is forsaken, or name your land desolate, but you will be called Ephzibah and your land Beulah, for the Lord will delight in you, and your land will be married as a young man marries his young bride or woman, so will your builders or your sons marry you, as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so will your God rejoice over you. You have to wait even for a little longer for that part. And then we back up into Psalms 149 and verse 4. And the word of God says, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify, that is, transform the meek, the plain people with salvation. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Look at somebody. Look at them. Look at them up and down like you investigated, like you're searching for something. And your response ought to be, don't look now. See me later. How many in here want to change in your life? How many want to experience revolutionary change in your life? Oh, come on, let me hear you. Let me hear you. Just tired of same old, right? Now, according to the latest statistical reports from the American Society of Plastic Surgery, for the past 5 years, there has been a rapid increase in the number of plastic surgeries that are being performed on a daily basis. Statistician reports show that in 2018, nearly 18 million surgical procedures were done on individuals who obviously were either ashamed or at best uncomfortable with some aspect of their physical contour or profile. It is critical then to note here that without any restraints, nearly 18 million people voluntarily, willingly, may I say, enthusiastically went under the knife, particularly because they were not happy with the way that they look. In case you haven't noticed, plastic surgery is not only on the rise, it has become one of the most prevalent obsessive phenomenon among those who are convinced that physical alteration or surgical reconstruction is the only way that people who are dissatisfied with their physical appearance can begin to feel good about themselves. We have become so image conscious and self-absorbed, so much so that the preoccupation of self-indulgence has driven certain individuals beyond the parameters of relevance and normalcy. Because of the imposing pressure and demands that the fashion industry places upon us to look a certain way, because of this erroneous notion that we all need to be to have this pulchritudinous sculptured body of a beauty pageant or a Roman gladiator, there are those who will sacrifice half of their income in order to procure or to acquire the artificial manufactured version of what they consider to be beautiful and attractive. Ain't nobody going to say anything this morning. I'll say amen for myself. This increase in pressure and desire to be accepted by a vain, discriminatory, judgmental, intolerant society have driven some people over the proverbial precipice of insanity. There are no limits to what people are willing to do in order to obtain the Barbie doll fashion model look. In fact, there are those who would put their lives on the line, risking all in order to look like something straight up out of a Vogue magazine. The compulsive impetus to look better and ultimately to feel better is the very thing that has made cosmetic surgery so appealing and reassuring to those who see no other alternative of achieving any sense of significance and confidence. Size acceptance, body positivity, and fat activism are now a common part of the cultural lexicon. Yet multitudes of people, both young and old, are soliciting the assistance of plastic surgeons. Why? Because they are displeased with the image they see when they look in the mirror. Unhappy with what seems to be too big, too little, too long, too short, too fat, too flat, too thick, too thin. Millions of people are cutting. They are cutting, tucking, extending, and reshaping this. Hallelujah to God. While countless others are somehow slicing, dicing, reducing, shrinking, smoothing, and enlarging some particular feature of their appearance. Some say that a few minor alterations and augmentations can help to boost the confidence of some people while allowing them to regain their self-esteem. But there are those people who, amen, there are those people who have taken body sculpting to the level of something completely repulsive, addictive, and catastrophic. I want you to come with me here, Gilzine. Take Justin William Yudlicki. Amen. It's spelled J-E-D-L-I-C-A, but it's pronounced Yudlicki. Amen. For example, take him for example. Known as the human Ken doll, Justin is an American man whose obsession with changing his body began in the 1990s by watching Lifestyle of the Rich and the Famous. Having been severely, amen, bullied for the way he looked and wanting to emulate the glamorous lifestyle of the famous and the rich, at age 18, it is said that Justin first went under the knife and in an attempt to obtain a perfect body. Since then, this 39-year-old has now totaled 780 plastic surgeries, including 5 nose jobs, chest and shoulder implants, biceps and tricep implants, cheek enhancement, liposuction, lip augmentation, brow bone shaved, and brow lifted. I want to tell you something, that till this day he still doesn't feel well about himself. Might I report, medical report proved that nearly 800 surgical procedures have cost him more than $800,000. What he wanted was a radical change, and the reality is Justin is still not completely satisfied about how he looks. So according to him, I'll probably never stop, amen, getting plastic surgery. Oh my God, it has become such an addiction for him that it has driven him crazy. I want to tell somebody that the real value of who you are or the real beauty about you is not really what's on the outside. Come on, hear somebody, but what's on the inside. I don't care how big, how flat, how fat your nose is. Your nose doesn't make you who you are, because Lord knows I've seen some beautiful people that seem to be spotless, look like God spent 2 days on them alone. So beautiful, but on the inside, oh my God, on the inside they had a rotten heart, they had a bitter heart. We focus so much on the outside until we lose the value of what's on the inside. But touch somebody and tell them, I'm more than what meets the eye. Come on and say amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. It's not about the outside. It's about what's on the inside. And if you're going to seek change, you might as well seek change, hallelujah to God, that can impact both inside and outside. Are you going to say amen in here this morning? It is obvious then, my brothers and my sisters, hallelujah to God, that the obsession for change is very, can be a very very unhealthy endeavor. According to the experts, the terminology for a man addictive behavior, this addictive behavior is called body dysmorphic disorder. Body dysmorphic disorder is a mental dysfunction in which you can't stop thinking about one or more physical feature or flaws in your appearance. It is probably not even noticeable to anyone else, but because you are so conscious and mortified about it, there is this urgency to change the way you look, even if it results in further complication. So caught up with what people think about you when they look at you on the outside, that you will go to the edge of insanity in order to try to secure and procure the right frame, the right image, the right look. Come on and say amen, somebody. Some folks work more on their body than they work on their brains. Come on and say amen, somebody. Thus we find then this psychological disorder is a behavioral condition characterized by the chronic belief that the continuous surgical alteration of one's appearance will remedy the negative perception of how you see yourself. Anyone who would pay $800,000 to undergo endure the agonies associated with 780 surgeries is a desperate cry for change, wouldn't you say? We've all got to understand, however, that this is a psychological condition. It is self-denigration. It is self-destructive. That which stems from a place of self-hate, a place of, and as a consequence, no matter how much surgical procedure that you undergo, your problem will never change, because until you change the way you think about yourself, how you look on the outside will never change how you feel on the inside. Are you hearing me, somebody? I come to tell you that there are those that were born black. Hallelujah to God, that look peachy white. Hallelujah to God today, because somebody poisoned your mind and told you that black, hallelujah to God, was ugly, that black was a symbol, hallelujah to God, of something unattractive. Yet black has become the most distinguished color, hallelujah to God, on earth. Come on, somebody. When we get ready to be formal about it, nobody just goes and dress up, amen, in purple. Men put on black tuxedos. Come on, somebody. Because there is something distinguished. There is something idiosyncratic. There is something beautiful. Hallelujah to God, just being black. I want to tell you that I'm glad for the skin that God put me in. I wouldn't mind being 6'3", but all I got is 5'9". And baby, whatever he gave you, you got to work it, work it, work it, work it. Come on, somebody. I don't have to walk on anybody's runway. I spread a carpet for myself and say to God in praise that I was wonderfully and marvelously and skillfully made by the hands of God. What makes us great and valuable is the fact that our lives have been touched by the hands of the Creator. And I don't care what the creation says, God did a good job with me. Somebody say yes. I'm not trying to be this one or that one. Come on, somebody. You can keep your Kindle. You can keep that image of what the world says, hallelujah to God, should be the profile. I'm telling you that with God in my life, hallelujah, Hallelujah. I'm somebody beautiful. I'm somebody wonderful. I'm somebody gifted. I'm somebody blessed by God. I wish you'd give me some more. I feel God up in God's church. Somebody ought to throw your hands up in the air and celebrate what God gave you. I said celebrate what God gave you. Whole lot or just a little. Hallelujah. That's what makes you you. Celebrate the God in you. Somebody say yeah. Somebody say yeah. Somebody say yeah. I got to preach fast. You've got to understand here, my brothers, that until you change, hallelujah, to God, how you look, hallelujah, on the inside, hallelujah, how you look on the outside will never make you feel better on the inside. Am I right about it? Am I right about it? Lord, have mercy. For years, black people have made to feel that we are second class, that somehow that God, we are incomplete. You got to understand, I don't want to go off on the Afrocentric theology, but the truth of the matter is, hallelujah to God, that you can get every color out of black, come on somebody, but you will never get white, black out of white. Somebody better talk to me when I'm preaching hard. My God, have mercy. I'm not trying to mess with y'all. I'm just trying to help us around here to understand that there is nothing inferior, insignificant about us and who we are. That we cannot be judged by the color of our skin, but as Martin says, by the content. Come somebody, yes, hallelujah, the God of our mind. I'm here to tell people that when we say we want a revolution, we're not talking external revolution. We want an internal, psychological, mental, philosophical transformation, revolution. Because if you can master your thinking, oh my God, you can master your living. Somebody say yeah. Touch somebody, tell him he's talking about you. Yes, yes, yes. Typically we are experts at beautifying and blemishing and accentuating what's on the outside. We take pride in the superficial enhancement of the outer man, while on the inside, Michelle, we are wasting away. Come on and say yes. We're wearing Armani and St. John's, hallelujah, looking fly on the outside, but Mother Johnson, on the inside, Jesus says it's like dead man's bone in a whitewashed wall sepulcher. Somebody talk to me up in here. Seems to me that God is not so much concerned about what's on the outside, though you cannot neglect the maintenance of the outside either. Because if you just eat what you want to do and waste away and have yourself spreading like a green bay tree, you will die of a premature death, anointed but dead, because you have no sense, amen, of self-pride, no sense of control. Oh God, you gotta get up, and if you can't afford, hallelujah to God, if you cannot afford to pay for, amen, a monthly fee for a gym, you gotta get up and walk around your block. The Bible said bodily exercise profited little, but it didn't say it didn't profit. It profit. Somebody talk to me up in here. You've got to amalgamate the spiritual with the physical. Ain't nobody helping me here. So if you are one that's getting up in the morning and you're praying for an hour, why don't you go outside? If you're afraid to walk on the street, why don't you walk around your house? And while you're walking, you're praying. While you're praying, you're walking, so that you're working on both body and soul. Somebody talk to me.
Oh, you don't like
come to tell you that we got to become better. Are you hearing me, somebody? If I let myself grow and just eat what I want to, I'll become 300 pounds in no time. And then I will become an asthmatic preacher. And I will shorten my ministry. Are you hearing me, somebody? You must be pragmatic in your approach to life. Are you hearing me, somebody? You cannot be too extremely excessive on any side. There must be balance. God wants us to have a balanced life. Don't look at me funny. It's your Father talking to you. It's because I love you that I'm trying to say to you, let's get ourselves together. Come on, somebody. Touch your neighbor and tell him, I need some work. Oh, come on, touch your neighbor and tell him, I may look good on the outside, but God knows I need some work. I'm a piece of work. I feel God up in here. We are good at shaping and toning, hallelujah, to God what appeals to the natural eye, while we discard and, amen, and we discard the desperate condition of the inner man. Oh, but somebody need to realize that the revolution I'm calling for is not one that occurs on the outside, but one, amen, one, amen, that appears on the outside but has no empirical effect on the inside of me. Tear away all of the external defects. Peel away all of the apparent blemishes, along with all of the stubborn flaws. Oh my God, extract all the melanin from your skin. In fact, hallelujah to God, paint it lightish caramel brown, or peach if you want to, and all you'll have is a fake artificial complexion. But radical change, brothers and sisters, is long lasting. Radical change is durable and revolutionary. Starts from the inside. Somebody cry change. Somebody shout change. The change that I'm trying, that I'm crying out for, is a spiritual revolution, a spiritual transformation from the inside out. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I can change the outside, but if my inside is going to be changed, if the governance of my body, my mind is going to be changed, if my mind is going to be renewed, I need God. Come on, somebody. Tell somebody, I need God. I need a mental plastic surgeon. Come on, somebody, that will empty me, hallelujah, of stinking thinking, of negative thoughts that holds me down and cripples my ability to move forward. Come on, somebody. You need to begin to cry out to God. All the stuff you put on your body and you still can't get rid of wrinkles. You still can't get rid of the sag. Lord, have mercy. If it was safer, I would have sucked some of this out myself. Come on, somebody. But what is important, hallelujah to God, is what God does on the inside. You know what I need? I need a heart surgery. I need God to do something on the inside that make me behave better, that make me talk right. Somebody say yes. Somebody shout change. God, I need you to change me. I can't see you in here. I can't hear you in here. Is anybody in here who can cry out, I need a change? Somebody say yeah. Somebody say yeah. Are you still with me, Lorraine? Yes, we're safe. Hallelujah. Unlike Justin, hallelujah, Yutskla, I need a revolution, but not the kind that occurs only in the epithelium, in my flesh. Oh, come on, somebody. The epithelium, hallelujah, that is the outside layer, hallelujah, the God of your flesh. I need a revelation, a revolution that comes causes me to cry out like the prophet Isaiah, woe is me, hallelujah to God, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. Lord God Almighty, we can see everybody else, but you can't see your own flaws. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. He likes you with your flaws, but he doesn't love you for you to remain that way. He wants you to change. There's a change that's got to occur in me. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Make me preach harder. Somebody shout hallelujah. I need a revolution that pulls me away from the temporal and lifts me into the secret place, until like Moses, when men look at me, all they see is the radiance and glory of the Almighty shining in me. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. To say I need a revolution is to say I need God to completely revolutionize my life. I need him to bring everything that is off balance and out of sync into synchronization. Come on, somebody. And alignment within his, amen, with his perfect will. I need a revolution. To say I need a revolution is to say that I need God to overthrow all of the systems that does not contribute to God's purpose for my life. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what God's plans are for my life. One thing I know, Lord have mercy, I cannot go on without a change that activates every gift, every ability that God has entrusted in me. I need to get rid of some stuff in my life. I need to erase and replace some stuff that only serves as a hindrance to my progress. Somebody shout, I need a revolution.
Don't look now, but sometimes it's not as good. What you see is not as good as what it is on the inside. You see the exterior, but God looks at the canvas of my heart and my spirit and said, boy, you need some work. I feel something up in this house this morning. Is anybody going to say amen? I want God to change me, Lorraine, until I become unrecognizable. I want him to change me until not even the devil can pick me up out of a lineup. You don't hear me, somebody? I need God to change me until my haters drop to their knees down on the ground in disbelief. I need God to change my mind. I need him to change my attitude. I need him to change my mentality. I need God to change my character. Talk to me, somebody. Talk to me, somebody. I need God to change my walk and my talk. Everything about me. I need God to change me from the inside. From the inside out. I don't just want a new look. I want to be transformed. I want to be I want an uncompromising heart that seeks to bring glory to the name of God by any means necessary. There's got to be a change in me. Somebody say, since you don't want me to preach to you, I'll preach to myself. I shout for myself. I say amen on myself. I pray for myself. Come on, Monday to be a Sabbath. I want God to change some of you until your ex tries to come on to you, not realizing that you're the same one he tried to destroy in divorce court. Oh, my dear Shaba, I need you to change until he salivates at the mouth when he sees you. I need you to give him a heart attack, laying in bed at night, asking himself, what in the world did I do to lose a good woman like you? Oh my God, he left you and them children for dead, but now you look so good when he sees you. He's at loss for words at just how good God's been to you. He's been better to me than I've been to myself. I want God to change you, that like the Hebrew boys, the evidence of what you've been through doesn't even show on you. I need God to change us from ordinary to extraordinary. Do you want to change? Do you want to change? Do you want a revolution? Look at somebody, ask them, say, what you want? What you want? What you want? What do you want? You ought to tell some of them, I ain't got what you want because I'm too busy working on me. See them boys back there and them girls back there? They wanted change. They were obsessed with change. They were able to conceptualize. They were able to envision, hallelujah, the world we're living in now. Them boys and them girls back here, they not only changed the world for you and me here in America, but they changed the world for generation and races around the world. Somebody say yes, because they were hungry. I said they were hungry. And I just want to ask somebody today, what are you hungry for? What are you hungry for? Because whatever you're hungry for will either make you better, bitter, or better. Oh, come on, Dibia. I said, whatever you're hungry for will either make you bigger, better, hallelujah, or what's the other word? Whatever it is. Somebody say yes. Somebody cry out, I'm hungry for change. I'm hungry for change. I'm hungry for change in my community. I'm hungry for change in the church. I'm hungry for change in my spiritual life. I can be better. There is more and I want it. Somebody said, I'm hungry. Move out of my way. Hallelujah. I got to eat. I got to eat. I got to chase after. I'm chasing after God. Don't look at me and tell me that I'm preaching too hard. You don't say that to the players in the Super Bowl. Hallelujah. Who is giving their 100%? This is my Super Bowl. Hallelujah to God. I've got to give you what God gave me. And I got to give it to you fast. I refuse. Hallelujah to God to just be an average Joe on the block. Hallelujah, somebody. God invested too much in us, Gilzeem. There is too much that is incubated on the inside. There is too much. Come on, sit down. There is too much. Hallelujah to God. Too much that is in you. You got a reservoir in you. You got an ocean in you. And if you would begin to focus on what's in there, oh my God, the world would be astounded. What you got to offer? Oh, can you sit with me for a little longer? I'm going to keep you forever, but just a little longer. Because I want to talk to somebody. I want to talk to somebody. Can I tell you my heart today? Can I preach my heart today? Can I empty? Can I empty the trailer? Come on, somebody. I got an empty Tony, what he gave me. I need a revolution. Somebody shout, I need a revolution. Oh, God, have mercy. Anybody praying for me? I want to preach like this for 30 more years, nonstop. Come on, somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. I need a revolution. I want God to regulate my mind until he shifts me from the natural to the supernatural. I want to remain, hallelujah to God. I don't want to remain the same that I've been. And I don't want just a little touch up, or as we say in the barbershop, a shape up. No, I want a radical, all-inclusive, comprehensive change that goes from top to the bottom. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. If you spend time on your hair, if you spend time on your eyelash, then don't let your fingers, your nails, or your toes look like bird claws. Come on, somebody. You gotta take care of the whole man. Somebody said, I need an overall. I need a complete redesign, redefined, renewed spirit-filled vessel. I want God to surgically cut some things out of me, cut some things off of me, until I am conformed into the image of the Son of God. I don't want change that's just good enough for me. I need God to revamp and redefine my life in a way that effects change in the lives of everybody around me. Somebody shout, I need a revolution.
Problem is, though we are image conscious, we're blind to our greatness. You okay, baby? Something's going on over here. Somebody go find out for me, and they don't want to tell me. Something's going on over here. But in the name of Jesus. You see them boys back here? And them girls that will come up soon? Our problem is that we don't realize that there are a whole lot of them right here, right here, right here, right here, right here. Those of us that are catalysts of change, those of us that has the ability to galvanize community, to gather men and women and speak life into them. Is anybody going to talk to me? Something's got to happen with this death wish that is being played out on our streets every day. Are you hearing me, somebody? Something's got to happen. Something has to happen. And as the Lord lives, for the next 2 weeks, if I'm not on the streets at 5 o'clock in the morning walking through these streets and praying again, I got ammunition that my opponents and every gang banger cannot resist. Are you hearing me, somebody? They may have a gun, but I'm bulletproof. Are you hearing me, somebody? I got bulletproof faith. Are you hearing me, somebody? We got to save the children. We got to save the children. Is anybody going to help me here? We got to save the young men. Somebody please help me. Somebody please help me to pray until we can raise up a trade school right here for young men that cannot go to college, do not want to go to college, but we've got to equip them with the ability, hallelujah to God, to be able to take care of themselves with a trade. Oh, come on, somebody. We got to teach them to become great men, men of honor and dignity that will produce children, fathers that will impact community. Nobody's going to help me. May God raise up some destiny helpers. May God raise up somebody that will say, Reverend, hallelujah to God, I don't have what you have, but I have what you need. I will
underwrite the project. If you believe that God can make a difference in our city, somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Shout, there's got to be a change. Somebody shout, there's got to be a change.
Let's pull back a little. It is Florence Nightingale, as I was studying, she was convinced, as I am today, that were there none who were discontented, listen to me now, with what they have, the world would never reach anything better. Were they none? Oh my God, have mercy. That were discontented with what they have, the world would never reach anything better. I want you to process it while I help you to understand it in my own way. In other words, discontent is the agitator, the provocateur that ignites change. Okay, that was too profound for you, so let me drop it down. You will never rise to your highest level of potential until discontent begins to nudge and nag and provoke you to aim higher.
Say,
if you are a dropout, and it ain't because you did not have any kind of support at home, but if you are a dropout, that's because you were satisfied with being satisfied with the way things are. Is anybody with me here? Can I take a little deeper? You will never rise to your highest level of potential until discontent begins to nudge, nag, and provoke you to a higher aim, to aim higher. You will never move one inch farther or climb one step higher as long as you are enjoying the lethargy of inactivity and satisfaction.
Okay. Y'all don't believe me? So let me work it. Let me work what he gave me.
Satisfaction is the paralysis that makes sluggards of men.
I was in bed last night. I just taken a shower and slipped in, and we were going to rush off to bed. And as soon as I sat down, I said, Myrna, listen to what I just heard.
Satisfaction is the paralysis that makes sluggards of men. It inhibits progress. Satisfaction. It stifles potential. It impedes growth. It stunts your ability to become your best you. Do not allow. See, your problem is that you're paying too much attention. Hallelujah to God, to your opposition. You're paying too much attention to your opponent. Come on and say amen, somebody. You have got to become your most, you have got to become your most competitive competitor. Are you hearing me, somebody? Problem is that you are trying to compete with others. Me, I'm competing with myself. I'm competing with last week, because last week's presentation is not good enough for this week. I should be growing from grace to grace, from level to level. What you working on? Ask somebody. What are you working on, baby? You gotta spend some time working on yourself until you become so better you inspire people to become better. Somebody say yes.
Tweet that. And I'm not finished. Somebody say yes. I know you don't like the feeling, but discontent is the necessary force that sparks and fans the flames that produces change. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Are you with me, somebody? I said discontent is the necessary force that sparks and fans. Hallelujah, the flame that produces change. If there must be any positive endeavor that produces transformation and expansion, there must necessarily be some degree of discontent. Are you hearing me, somebody? If you're not tossing and turning at night, can't sleep because your mind is flooded with the idea that, wait a minute, I should have been way over there. What am I doing here? Hallelujah to God. Then you are becoming what Caribbeans call a cruff. You don't have to, oh my God, what it means is a no good. You must become obsessed. Hallelujah to God with progress. Hallelujah to God. If the child is 2 years old and the child is not talking, doesn't recognize words, it causes concern. I'm discontented. Hallelujah, because I know the child ought to be father. Somebody say yes. You ought to perform self-examination. Hallelujah, and see where you are in life.
Look at the chart, and if you are where you thought you would be, then you ought to raise the bar. You know, raise the bar. I'm thinking about Kobe, and I'm thinking, how is it possible human beings could fly and you ain't got wings? I don't know what you saw, but boy, oh boy, there are times when I saw him did it, and I said, Lord, have mercy. That is magical. No, it's not magic. No. It's practice. And I want to tell you something. They say that practice becomes perfect. No. Perfect practice becomes perfect. You have to perfect the craft before you get to the game. Don't perfect the craft because somebody is giving you $100 million. Ain't nobody giving you that kind of a money to throw it from downtown. Shh. 1 second left on the clock, and from downtown, you're able to do what those that are standing under the net cannot do. To see the possibility of the better you. And listen. I don't have anybody that has ever called me and said, Bishop Williams, we want to put you on BET. We want to put you on the Word Network. And we're going to invest. We're going to start out by investing $200,000 in your ministry because the world needs to hear what you got to say. I don't have anybody that has ever said that to me. But that ain't what I'm working for. No, I'm working to please God. I'm saying if God gives me a nugget, only John 3:16, by the time I get done with it, I got 16 pages. Come on, somebody. And by the time I get done delivering that, I'm praying that it will change not just a congregation, but a community. Are you hearing me, somebody? So that I want to let you know that when Kobe went to pro, he was already pro in high school at 17 years old. He was pro. And I mean, he wasn't just, what's the word I'm looking for? Average, what's the word I'm looking for? Anyway, he wasn't just on par with his other teammates. Oh no, he exceeded expectation of any coach in high school. So much so that those in the NBA said, who in the world is this? Beyond competitor! Some of you stopped working on yourself 30 years ago.
That's why you're going to die wrinkled and old and have nothing to show for the life that you have lived. But if I can help somebody as I pass along, and guess what, Grant? I can't help Jack if I don't help myself. Come on, somebody talk to me. Talk about help a brother out, help a sister out. Help yourself, and then help will find you. Oh, come on, should I push it? Should I push it a little longer? Should I push it a little longer? Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. I know you don't like the feeling. Hallelujah to God that it brings. But you've got to understand that discontentment is the necessary force, hallelujah, to push you along. Something deep within the human spirit must cry out for a metaphoric change. If elevation, advancement, improvement, and progression is to be achieved, something deep within the core of your soul must cry out for a revolution. Discontent is what ignited the fires that made change. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Ignited the fires that makes change possible. Somebody say amen. This was the propelling force that drove Martin and Malcolm to martyrdom. This was what made them sacrifice their lives, because they believed that in order to rescue us, amen, from the socio-political genocide, America had to be exterminated and cleansed from the viral epidemic of racial discrimination and injustice. Talk to me, somebody. Discontent made Rosa Parks refuse to give up her right to sit on the seat that she paid for, because she was tired of the subordination that only, amen, serve to promote and emasculate the person and perpetuate persecution of Black Americans. Somebody better talk to me here. Discontent sometimes is your greatest weapon. I've seen people. People that left Jamaica. Somebody told them that money grew on trees here, and that you could pick up diamonds and pearls as you walk down the street. So they gave away their entire closet. Came up here like my mama, my dad, and me did back in 1981. Yeah, I must have landed here with about 3 outfits. Only one to go to church. Because the ones that I had, they done told us that it wasn't good enough for America. Can I tell you? We stayed 3 months before I found a church in Stamford I could go to and got no clothes to wear. After 1 week, my auntie and her husband told my father, oh, you can't sleep all day in here. You got to get a job. The only job, middle of the winter. At least Dad had seen snow before. It was the first time I saw snow. And you know what Dad was doing? First job, you know what he was doing? He's cutting down trees, limbs. And some people going out, coming back in. Bunions on his feet. Calluses. Cold as ice. But he never got sick. You know why? Because he couldn't afford to. Because every night he was reminded that we had to go get ourselves an apartment. You're going to sit here and cuss people that take you up into their house and put you up, and all you can tell folk is how wicked they were because of their expectation. You needed the discontent and the agitation to push you into progress.
Some of you are where you are right now because people have enabled you. And when I find out that you're using me, that every time you need something down on your face, instead of going to work for it, you are coming to me asking for $100 and $500 because you heard that I've given big seats to the church. You think that I'm rich and I'm a millionaire. No, I'm discontented with where I am. And I realize that if I give to God, he will give back to me good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So while I'm sowing, hallelujah to God, you think I got so much that I'm giving it away. I'm trying to teach you something, honey. It's what you do when you are discontented that brings contentment in your life, future contentment. Somebody better lift your hands and give God the glory and shout, I'm gonna do better. Slap somebody and tell them, I'm gonna do better. Sitting around here talking about things are gonna get better and you ain't doing nothing to bring about change. Oh, God, have mercy. You know, I'm so frightened. I don't know why God does what he does. I mean, we into February, and I haven't gotten to the first verse of the text. Speaking contextually, building you up for this change that is necessary. Discontent is what summons you to purpose and duty. It is what moves you to seek higher ground when the water level begins to rise. Don't wait until you need a boat. Troublesome water is heading your way. You got to procure and secure a place of safety. I hope God agitates you until sleep leaves your eyes. I've seen those, I was saying before, I've seen those that left the Caribbean with just a little paper bag. That was all they had. They fill everything they own in a paper bag. But today they own houses. Still ain't got no papers, but they own house and houses. You know, because of a thing named discontent and ambition. Got it? Baby, I ain't telling you that you ain't got none. Some of you are just afraid. And you ain't got nobody to push you. It's not a push some of you want, you know, it's a kick. You came from a house where success was modeled to you. You come to a house where success is being modeled to you. But we gave the report last Sunday of how we're doing, the status of the church. And while there may not be any reason to go carnal and brag about numbers, it was a demonstration to all of us that hard work, duty, and persistence is the producer of not just prominence, progress, but prosperity. Come on and say amen, somebody. I hope to agitate you so much until when you leave from here, you go back to the drawing board, writing a new plan for your life. Now, do something. Squeeze somebody's hands and tell them, I'm going to do something. Listen, I'm going to do something. If you want to change something, you got to do something. Come on, tell somebody, if you want to change something, you got to do something. Sitting around here saying things are going to get better, better, going to get better. You can sing it. Until my mama would say, until you get lockjaw. Nothing better will happen until people decide to change what is or better. Is anybody with me here? Is anybody with me here? It is that discontent that drives you to seek higher ground when that water level begins to rise. Therefore, you cannot allow the agitation to become a source of frustration, especially when the underlying intent was motivation. We walk away with the negative and never see the positive that is always in and among the negative. Are you hearing me, somebody? Rather, it is a signal, discontent. It is a signal, an internal indicator that is directing you to a higher dimension of change. Thus, the discontent and the provocation that it brings is a vivid call for a revolution. I'm talking about an extreme, radicalized movement that shifts and positions us towards empowerment and progress. Touch somebody and tell them, embrace the revolution. You see it? I've been obsessed for years now with what the second half is going to look like. I left this building years ago. My body is in it, but my mind is in something wider, broader, bigger. I see all types of people sitting in front of me. There are thousands. You say, oh, he's dreaming. You must think that this is Atlanta. Now you're going to have 2,000, 2,200. Look at what you got. You neither can afford it nor can you maintain it. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. But I will not allow you to reduce me down to your low-level mentality. Because I've been to the mountaintop. And I've seen the promised land. And baby, is far better than what he is right now. Stand to your feet. Like a rushing wind, we are dead.